Welcome to the Over Underachievers. I'm your host, Lex McCoy. Joining me as always, I don't know how old he is. I don't really care, but he's part of the problem. It's Jason Waterfalls.
That sounds really sketchy. What is this in reference to?
Oh, I was going to, I didn't know if you'd built, like I built my Wednesday night evening around listening and re-listening to the Dabo Swinney rant on a call-in show that I honestly, I don't know why these college coaches do these call-in shows and set themselves up to just get dunked on. But Dabo received a call. I think it was Tyler called in and basically asked a question and said, why are you getting $11.5 million a year to lose four games and to only be 4-4? And Dabo responded very diplomatically. And by that, I mean, he went on a 5-minute rant about who he is, where he's come from, what he's done, and why Tyler is a 12-year-old he does not prefer to receive a lecture from. Big man of the people energy from Dabo. Really good stuff.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew in that rant, which I did hear, I didn't really pick up on the age thing. I remember that he said a bad word. So
now he's not 12 to confirm. I don't believe he's 12. I haven't looked at a birth certificate, but I feel pretty confident saying he's not 12 years old.
I like Nick Saban's clips from his call-in show where he dunks back on the callers. I think that maybe Dabo shouldn't, but also Tyler, let's just be honest. Dabo brought Clemson from oblivion to powerful school, and he's had a bad year. He's very punchable face, obviously. So I don't want to be like too much to give for Dabo, but that's ridiculous. You have one bad year, and then who do you think's coming to save Clemson?
I feel like if we're coaching people, if we're life coaching rants, I do feel like even though you will feel compelled to give some big identifiers, some big temples about yourself, like I'm a man, I am 40. These are elegiac and they're fun to say. They're not helpful. They make it sound weird because Dabo was like, I'm 53. I worked my A word up the ladder, boy. Like it was just a lot of like, oh, you're hitting all the beats of like, this is problematic. So I would say, I think tactically, logistically, you are correct. Like, are we really going to go after Dabo after like one bad year? I will say though, that's not what this is about, Jason. This was about Dabo took the bait, right? This isn't a referendum on his career. This is he so untethered emotionally and mentally that he can't handle the criticisms of a potentially 12-year-old Tyler on a call-in show? I feel like a better, more in control coach would have diplomatically like shot him down and moved on. But that, like, it's a legit 5-minute rant. And there's just not a lot of reasons to go on a 5-minute rant. You know what I mean?
How are you going to attack a child of whatever age, just assuming it was under 18, Tyler?
Well, you know, Dabo chose to call him a 12-year-old. So I guess we have to operate with the understanding that it is a 12-year-old to Dabo, right? So
right, but that's exactly my point. But Dabo's the one with a slide in his office.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly. He's the one who's like, hey, me first, my turn first down the hill. That's how we do this. So is Dabo the 12-year-old? People are asking. People want to know for sure. Jason, what's good, man? How are we doing?
Doing great. A lot of projects around the house, a lot of stuff going on in the career world. Everything is up and up, just busy, good, awesome. What about yourself?
I will say the trauma beard is growing back a little slower than I would have thought. That's not a criticism. That is just an observation. Care to comment on that?
Do you care to comment? The beard is coming in strong. I need to shave my neck really bad, but alas, it's getting done today.
I got to be honest with you, full transparency, this is not a bit. I am very self-conscious about how white my beard is to be a man who is just 40. And it wasn't just this year. Like it's, you know, it was like halfway through COVID, it was like, hey, this is the L you're going to take. Have your beard goes white. And then the other side's slowly going white. So it's a big Santa. And I just don't know where to go. This isn't a just for men situation. I don't want to shave it because I don't have a pretty face. And my girls, my wife and my daughters are both like, don't do that. You're disgusting. You have to have the beard to hide it. So this is a real impasse for me.
Thank you for your vulnerability, first of all. Second of all, I don't care about losing my hair on top and about my beard going white. I actually encourage it. So you and I are not on the same track on this one.
Yeah.
I'm getting the white is coming in mostly on the chin.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're getting like the old noble Labrador white. It's very regal.
Right.
And like, it looks great, honestly.
You don't like your white, huh? Do some just for men. Give it a shot.
No, see, I'm just, I'm not on the same track as you. Okay. You're getting years of like, look at how weathered and noble this guy is. Mine was like, Tim Allen just got the Santa Claus curse and boom, it's white. And I was just like, I wasn't ready. You know, it went too fast. I feel like a parent at a graduation watching their kid graduate. And she's like, it just went too fast. My beard just went white too fast. I don't like it.
Well, I think you look great. Well, and that you. Is not a bit.
I appreciate that. Things are good. Things are, the travel is slowed. So I'm looking forward to get back into the rhythm. My son just started wrestling. Was like, hey, wow. I'm wrestling this winter. And that's not what I'd prepared for. It's not what our family had prepared for. But he really wanted to wrestle. So he's wrestling now. And do you know what that means? I just want you to guess. What do you think it means to have about to be 15-year-old who is learning wrestling moves? What do you think that does to the house vibe?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's just WrestleMania all the time at home, right?
That's exactly like, right.
Anybody could get one of these new moves I learned at any minute.
Not anybody. Two people. Me and Bruce Wayne, the dog. And it's mostly me. So there's a lot of like face guard, shot to the leg, cradle hold. All these things I don't know about.
Grapple. So, hook.
It's just head on a swivel right now for me, which is a position I've not been in a lot. So we're adjusting, you know,
And little man's not so little anymore. So it's not like you can just toss him around, right?
No, I mean, the height's there, the weight, he's got a ways to go. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to dunk on you probably soon. He's just warning me. And I'm like, look, my man, even if you can, I'm never gonna let that happen. I will play dirty. I will shove you in the face. You're never dunking on me until I get into a wheelchair and then I'll still roll over your feet. I'm just not gonna laugh.
Okay. But I just want you to be very clear. No matter what happens in life, no matter what situation you're in, no matter how right you are, you don't fight a wrestler. Period. You will not win.
100%.
I need everybody out there to understand, all four listeners, do not fight a wrestler. When they know moves that you don't know and you don't know how to combat them, it happens to you quick, no matter what the weight class is, by the way.
We literally had this conversation. I was like, the good news is you know all these moves now, so you can defend yourself really well. Because the second you get into it with a wrestler, you know 2.5 seconds in, you're like, crap, this is the worst. I'm going to get in like a pretzel hold, and this is just going to be uncomfortable socially for me. Like any car with a wrestling bumper sticker, a Marine or military service or Vietnam veteran, I give them a wide berth. They want to cut me off? Come on over. No worries, man. Like,
thank you for your service.
Just right. Exactly. Well, speaking of adjustments, let's hit some of these overachieving and underachieving news items. James Harden was traded. And I feel like for a story that has been talked about at length in sports media, it kind of came and it kind of went. And everyone was just like, meh, he's going to the Clippers. Lost 7 return. Who cares? Like, was that your response? Were you like stunned or were you like, no, this is going to be kind of cool?
That was definitely not my response. In my circles, which include, I'd say probably more NBA than your circles do,
probably,
of your daily check-ins, listens, reads, etc. This has been extremely annoying ever since Houston. And then he went to the Nets. Then he went to the Sixers. Now he's at the Clippers. It's a situation where good for them, good for the players. But this one's just like too far. And I think that's just why everyone's out on James Harden. Everybody's already out on Russell Westbrook. No one knows what's going on with Kawhi. This is making Paul George seem and feel like the most normal person.
Yeah.
When I think he's had some stuff go on, you know, playoff, calling himself playoff P and then not doing anything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries. I like Paul George for the record, but this is going to be an experiment where James Harden may end up coming out of this as the best player on the Clippers.
He just might be the healthiest. Like I think this is a good on paper. Good, like it's a classic fantasy team. This will be fine. But I think what they misunderstood was these are four. They're not just introverts. They're extreme introverts, and they're introverts who have always been like the center of their galaxy. And now they have to share time. Are you kidding me right now? Like watching James Harden walk into the Sixers locker room and watching Russ be like, "Oh, hey, awesome. This can be great." Like, he's not going to get into acting after NBA is what I'm saying. You know, it's just, it's going to be an awkward vibe. The chemistry is going to be terrible.
I'm just like, this is the last time. I like when storylines end, right? I like certain storylines, but I like for them to end. Now we don't have to talk about James Harden being traded anymore because he's going to be there. And then I don't think anybody else is going to do this with him again. Like, he's going to get 12-day contracts from here on out because nobody is going to sign him to a long-term deal. Probably 14 different teams will. And then he'll demand to be traded. But I'm just glad that he's out of Philly. I'm glad we don't have to do this. I'm glad that him, Westbrook, Kawhi, Paul George, all of those storylines that I don't actually care about are now all combined into one thread.
Yeah.
So I'm loving that. Just like keep that all over there. And we don't really have to deal with it. Now, the second they become
that's
like,
kind of interesting. The second like a they landfill.
Become
like,
yeah, it's a landfill. But the problem is, if they become really good,
they won't. Don't worry.
We're going to hear about it a ton.
They definitely will not. The only thing I'm clicking on with Clippers in the title of the story is if it's Kawhi's laugh, because that is something that's a well I keep going back to just to hear that man laugh impromptu. And if you don't know, if you haven't heard, we're not going to include it in the show notes because that's a lot. That's just a lot to do. But we trust you to find it. With James Harden, he's obviously playing for a new contract. Over under games in the NBA who plays next year, if I set it at 0.5.
Over.
And I say that wondering, is there a world where this doesn't go great, but it's fine. But for what you just said, no one wants to pay him what he thinks he deserves, but China will, but Barcelona will, or somebody over there.
Saudi Basketball League.
I can't think of someone more perfect for the Saudi Basketball League.
Russell Westbrook. Let the Saudi PIF just buy the Clippers from Steve Ballmer. I love Ballmer. He's hilarious and a weird fellow. But James Harden going and being like the Cristiano Ronaldo, but for basketball.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is not the comparable, but that's like the comparable in his mind is going to be incredible.
For people, if you're not familiar with Steve Ballmer, he seems like the guy who in Act 3 of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 turns out to be the villain. You know, he's like all laughs and affable. And then suddenly, you know, he's trafficking humans out of the back of the meatballs joint or whatever.
Do you have a timestamp for that? That was pretty specific.
You know, I don't know. Just subscribe to my Substack, and I do all my conspiracy theories, animated movies. People love it. It's so good. Did you watch any of the World Series?
I absolutely did. Yeah. I fell asleep last night during the clinching game, but
I watched three innings. I guess the last three. And then I was like, I'm going to hang on tight here because I want to watch Celebration because I love watching celebrations, right? I love watching the end of SNL when everyone like high fives and hugs and laughs. I love watching sports teams win championships. And then I started talking to Ashley, got distracted and missed it. And I was like, dadgummit, I'm the worst at watching baseball.
What three innings did you watch?
Six. No, I'm sorry. I guess it was end of six, seven, eighth. And then with one out into the ninth.
Okay.
And then I just got distracted, you know, just loving my wife, just being a good dad or good husband, I guess. I don't know. I saw it in like the reflection. I was like, dang it. And I heard the commentators, but you know, whatever. Live to fight another day, I guess. I didn't know Corey Seager. You hear about this? You hear about this guy? Three World Series with three teams? Didn't even know that. Had no idea.
All he does is win, 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 no matter what, I guess.
I am aghast at how little I know about baseball because I watch him hit and I'm like, that looks like the best right fielder ever. And then I think he plays shortstop. And I was like, what? This is absurd. What's going on right here?
You could tell me he plays first. I didn't know Bryce Harper went to first until I started watching the playoffs this season.
And I don't think I knew that either.
Apparently he did that a couple of years ago, maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to write this down. Things we didn't know or realize about baseball episode. And it's just the whole thing. We build the whole plane out of that.
Well, like you were kind to me. I think it was the last recording or the recording before where you were like, okay, you're going for the Rangers, right? Because first of all, congrats to Grayson. He's a Rangers fan.
Yes.
They won.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, name three from each team. And then either you forgot to double down to make me do it, or you were being kind and we moved on. But I don't know that I could still name three. Well, I could because I know you're a huge, you've not named a driver, but Charles Leclerc is my favorite driver. And one of the closest names for the Rangers is Leclerc. So obviously I know him, Corey Seager, and Eovaldi. So I can name three.
I remember the starting pitcher and Seager, and I also, hold on, I can do this. Dang it, maybe I can't. I feel like there was a Josh Jung or something, because I was like, oh, like Carl? Do you think he's related to Carl? And then I just stopped paying attention. There was the middle guy, the middle reliever, it's like Smopez or something, where he had like the old saloon mustache. And I was like, what's going on here with all these guys? I just, I'm sad at myself for how little I know anymore. When I used to know so much about baseball.
Maybe next year we're going to be all in on baseball. You never know. What if next year your guy is wrestling now? Okay. You never thought you'd have lacrosse in your life. You never thought you'd
Max
have
Scherzer. I know Max Scherzer. He was on the Rangers. On the roster and then he got hurt. And he's not. Jacob DeGrom, he's also on the Rangers.
Jacob DeGrom is on the Rangers?
I only know that because on Instagram, they're like, these two guys won World Series, and I don't think they did much. But like, it's good content on Instagram. That's good podcast content for me right now, honestly. It is. Just, you can say it.
It's great. I love it so much. Next year, maybe we're going to get into baseball and F1 exclusively.
We're not.
And maybe soccer.
I'll get into F1 before getting into baseball. Fact. That's a promise.
Don't give another tease because you've been doing so great lately.
You know what? Honestly,
I don't want you to overpromise anything else again.
I don't want to cross streams here, but one of my big regrets in life, probably top 10 of this year, is in this week's podcast episode, we start talking about bears. And my favorite thing in the world is to confuse people about what to do with bears. And you saw me about to do that in a conversation with Jamie, and you stopped me, and I never got to go back to it. And I just really regret that I didn't just create chaos with that.
I want to be very clear. Everyone do your own bear research. Do not listen to Knox. He will give you bad advice. He will give you the wrong advice. This and legally, this is hyperbole law. What's it called?
What?
Parody law.
Oh. I like hyperbole law, though. That's good
I'm kind of thinking, like, what is that? Like, if hyperbole law, you're allowed to be as dramatic as possible, as you'd want, but you just have to name it up front.
Can you do a citizen's arrest on hyperbole law? Like, could Dabo have arrested Tyler, the 12-year-old, for hyperbole?
If you don't say, you have to say parody law. It's kind of like allegedly. You have to say it so that people, when they get mauled by a brown bear because they fought back, okay? Don't do this.
So I have to, so if someone is potentially going to get mauled by bear, I have to scream parody law. And that
you have to scream it right now so that this can't be used against you in court.
Parody law.
Boom. So now you can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Sorry, dummies. It's your fault if you get mauled by a bear. Not mine. Not your boy. I tell you that right now. I just think if you're in a situation,
fight back
and you
brown,
no,
lay down.
Brown throw down.
No.
Black face attack. I think here's my theory. Parody law. If you get into a fight with a bear, and when your brain is like looking around, like, where did I put that information about what to do? And my voice comes into your head, you're dead. It's over. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I told you.
Knocks in
it's
your over. Head. Now you're dead.
Speaking of somebody who is professionally dead, can we talk about Josh McDaniels? Who I'm so, we had talked last week. I don't know if we said it in the episode. We're going to talk about coaches and hot seats, getting fired, stuff like that. The person who I think we were thinking of was Josh McDaniels, because he was doing such a bad job with the Raiders. And for us not to get to officially take the victory lap of like naming him the guy most likely to get fired and then him getting fired, I really regret that too.
Well, we didn't this week, but we absolutely did at the beginning of the season, where you want Brandon Staley fired. I'm not completely convinced of that. And both of us were like, I think Josh McDaniels is just a bad coach.
You know how I know Brandon Staley's getting fired? Because he grew a playoff beard in October. And the NFL playoffs were not in October. And I'm just like, this guy is out of sorts right
now. He's only getting fired if they can get who they want for the price they want, because that is a team that is not willing to spend money, being the Chargers.
That's right. Yeah.
Let me be very clear about something. I'm not certain that Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, has any money at all.
Right.
But apparently in the NFL, coaching contracts are guaranteed.
Yes.
So he's still paying and trying to get out of the John Gruden contract. Now he has to pay Josh McDaniels his like 6-year contract or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Where's all this money coming from? And then he's going to have to get another
unless Mark Davis, great name, finds that Josh McDaniels did something that allows him to get out of the contract. Like he was like, remember what happened with that weird Bears coach? What was Josh around that? I don't know.
Okay, let's be clear. This is not a person that coaches black or brown Bears. This is a coach at the Chicago Bears. There is another coach situation going on at the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
The running backs coach just got reprimanded, fired, or the like. Like,
what? Oh, I thought that was all related. I thought it was all the same thing. It's a different thing?
I thought they like suspended the other guy and then now they've fired the running back.
No, see, coach. I thought it was the same guy. I thought it was like this
is
coach.
Is it the same
again guy,
or is this like,
I don't know,
a problem now with Eberflus at this point?
Well, speaking of people who are probably definitely getting fired, it's got to be Eberflus, right? He's got to be top of the list. He's Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford.
It's just one. It's all about who you're going to get to replace him. I'm telling people, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, I mean, like with the Raiders, I think there was. Do you blame the Raiders for hiring Josh McDaniels, who flamed out spectacularly in Denver by dying on the hill of Tim Tebow, when anyone with a brain knew Tim Tebow is not a professional quarterback who can win long-term and like in the playoff situation, even though that he did beat the Steelers.
Key word for you is long-term, because he can win.
On an infinite spectrum, everyone can win, right?
Yep.
But in a typical 2 to 3 season range, can he win long-term? I don't know if what happened with the Colts, where he took the job and he didn't, some coaches had already signed their contracts and had stayed, like Matt Eberflus, actually. I don't know if that's the reddest of red flags, but I feel like it's got to be close, you know?
If the story of Jim Irsay having potty time, that sounds even worse than it was. I don't know the actual story, but apparently somebody took a dump in someone's house, and then that's why, like, Jim Irsay took a giant dump in Josh McDaniels' house or something, and that's why McDaniels backed out.
Is that true?
I have no clue. Parody law. Her hyperbole law. And then, if this P.F. Chang's Josh McDaniels dressing up as Mark Davis for Halloween is really the reason that he got fired, I want this story to live on forever as the truth. I don't care if it's false or not. Have you heard this?
No, I've heard either of those things. Those are both the best things I've heard today so far. It is 10:25, but I don't think they're being topped, honestly.
So I have no clue. I'm sure it's a lie. But on the interwebs, there's a story that Josh McDaniels for Halloween was being Mark Davis. And then Mark Davis had P.F. Chang's even brought in to make it even more of a Mark Davis situation. And then he fired him.
What's wrong with P.F. Chang's? Let me understand that first.
Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders' favorite restaurant that he attends very frequently, is P.F. Chang's. There's nothing wrong with P.F. Chang's, for the record.
Okay, thank you.
It is weird that somebody with that much perceived wealth, power, influence, etc., would eat at P.F. Chang's that often.
Why? Isn't that the whole point of getting wealthy, is to be able to eat at P.F. Chang's anytime you want? Isn't the Devontae Adams having a Taco Bell in my living room the whole point for wealth?
I want to be very clear about something. We are in talks with Witch, not their people, but like,
nope.
We're talking to Witch.
They're not listening or reciprocating, but we are monologuing towards them.
I'm just like
we are with King's Hawaiian Pretzel.
Well, that's what
we're talking to a lot of people.
I'm nervous that I'm going to start doing a P.F. Chang's thing, and then it's me doing parody law and hyperbole law. But I'm kind of getting a little butthurt that King's Hawaiian has not hit us up yet.
Well, I don't think we've even tagged them. So it's really like there's no reason for them to have known anything. And also on this topic.
No, but
really
like quickly, find like, us. What do you?
Yeah, I mean, just get out in the streets. Like, what you heard about the Manning brothers. You should hear about us. Speaking of ads, I do want to say, I'll just say this. Okay.
Okay.
The only ads we know about are the ones we read. We're currently in a deal that's called Run of Network. So we belong to Libsyn. They host our podcast. And they run ads for companies that buy in mass across Libsyn. We don't really have control over that. We have a little bit of like broad control, but the specificity we have no control over. So a lot of times the ads people hear, we have no idea. And when you tell us, that's news to us. So if there's ever anything a little dicey or controversial or anything, we have no knowledge of that. That's not an endorsement. They're just using our feed to bring awareness to it.
And we don't know what's coming next. So you may have already heard something that you're like, oh, is that their stance on this topic?
Nope.
You have no clue what our stance is on that topic. And then you might hear another one. I'm just waiting until we get a bunch of political ads of people we're making fun of.
Oh, man.
And then there's a political ad like supporting that person coming up. But I want to say this. Thank you to Libsyn. And I want to correct you on one thing. You and I have never recorded an Over Underachievers ad with our voices. So,
oh, we've done fake ads. Thank you. No, we did. Didn't we do?
No, I'm just saying, like, if I'm kind of interested in this idea that our voices end up getting used for real ads that are Run of Network on our own show. Yeah.
That's what Spotify's trying to do.
By AI.
Yeah, Spotify's trying to do that right now.
Oh.
Which I'm like, bring it on.
Yeah,
bring it on.
As long as I get paid, you can use my voice to record a lot of different ads. Not an ad that we had recently, but no shade to them. And thank you for the opportunity for us to not have to sell any ads and get a little bit of ad money.
I'm glad you brought this up too, because it just reminded me of something my son and I talked about on my drive to drop him off this morning. There's a billboard on our, we took a different route because of traffic. And the billboard said it was like a man's face. Okay. So let's pretend it's your face. Your face is on the billboard.
Gorgeous.
Okay. And it says, "This is the face of domestic violence."
Yikes.
How are you interpreting that?
That guy beat somebody.
He is beating someone. He's getting beat. Either way.
Oh, probably wow. Not could great. Go either way.
Yeah. So I was like, how much you got to get paid to be like, yeah, okay, I'll put my face on that. I'll be the guy. The face of domestic violence guy. Just put a number on it. I'm not saying, I'm not holding you to it.
It could be less than $100,000.
So they're saying, if someone said $92,000 check in hand right now, you're the face of
domestic
violence.
Saying yes. As long as there's an asterisk, I know.
I don't think
I'm
saying yes.
Asterisk at the end, actor portrayal, right?
Yeah, but still, even the unconscious,
and you get the 50%, like, you know, putting sexism on its head. What if he's the one that's getting? Maybe that's the point of the message.
Maybe I don't want to be subconsciously seen when I'm at Chick-fil-A with my kids as, wait, is that the guy? Is that the face of domestic violence?
Either he beats
and is
his
he
wife.
The one hitting, or is he getting? Does he look like he gets hit, or does he look like he hits? I don't know. Let's talk about it.
STD medicine. What's your number?
Oh, STD medicine is a little higher, or it's a little easier because it's like, well, this is just a face deal, but like I'm someone who
you're the
hits
face
women.
Of chlamydia cream.
But yeah, but it's like, what's the story of how they got the chlamydia? Were they victimized? Did they choose to get chlamydia? It's an accident, right? It wasn't the choice. But when you're the face of domestic violence, you're either getting hit or you're hitting. And I just don't think it's good for anybody. Why do we got to put a face on that? That's what AI should be for. Let's put an AI face on that, you know?
Let's put an AI face on that.
I feel like it's got to be, we're talking million plus. It's got to be for me to be the face of domestic violence. Yeah, so coaches are terrible, and they be getting fired, man. So I think we're going to talk here for a second. I have, you know, I wanted to create some categories and maybe some comps, some pop cultural comps to be like, because it's kind of fruitless to be like, I don't know, is Eberflus going to get fired? Maybe. Should he? Like, that's not fun. But I think when
I mean, we
you
already
think
did
about
this episode, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was leading, right? It was setting up. Yeah, it was like the big razzle dazzle, right? If we qualify him as, it's not just he might get fired, but I think he belongs to the category of coach who he's like the guy or the woman in the zombie movie who slowly rolls up their sleeve and you see teeth indentations and he's like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It wasn't that deep. It was just a flesh wound. And you don't know when, but it's definitely happening that they're going down. I think that's Eberflus in Chicago. I think that's also Frank Reich in Carolina. What do you think about that?
And he coached, Eberflus coached under Frank Reich.
He sure did.
Indianapolis. Frank Reich is an interesting coach to me. I think he's really good, but he can't figure it out, maybe. And that's what it's that's what it's leading to.
I think you're right, though. It's like, I don't know when it's going to go bad, but it's going to go bad. And I just know that. I know that for sure. I'd heard buzz that my sources told me that Frank Reich didn't want Bryce Young, which that's probably an in vogue thing to say now. He wanted CJ Stroud, which I'm sure everyone's saying that, but there was some evidence that Frank Reich always likes a bigger, sturdier quarterback.
I think there's evidence that everyone in the NFL likes a bigger, sturdier quarterback. Bryce. I still got to figure out what our Bryce Young bet was, because I think you've already won it, or I won it. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, but definitely me.
I don't know. Don't think Frank Reich had any say on who. I think they brought him into Carolina. It was like, hey, we're going to give you a second chance at coaching in the NFL, but you're going to be a puppet for us to like have this reset over the next couple of years. And we think that you're a cool guy and a swell guy, and welcome to the locker room. But don't act like you get to have any say on any of the picks here.
Yeah, one of those. You gonna buy or you gonna rent? I'd rent. Probably be good to rent. I wouldn't buy.
Moving the whole family. No.
It's good to have two places, isn't it?
Tell you what, here's 400,000 Southwest points to get you from Charlotte back to Indianapolis.
God, he could get to Hong Kong with 400,000 Southwest points. Early bird, let's go. What are we doing? I love it.
Don't be mean to Southwest. It's my favorite airline. Anyways.
No, I love Southwest. Okay. Josh McDaniels, we mentioned Josh McDaniels. I feel like he's the scene bean in Game of Thrones, where he's He's Who? Good. I know. You spell it like Scene, I'm going to call it Scene. Okay? You want to be called Sean? Spell it like Sean. That's always been my policy. Whatever, man. Yeah, that's how it goes. That's how I'm going to do it.
Ned
Stark. Thank you. Ned Stark. Great in Winterfell, right? Warden of the North. Works really great up against the wall. Keeps the White Walkers out. Very simple job, but he does it really well. When he has to be like Hand of the King, gets a little weirder. You got a lot more things you're overseeing. Maybe you're not qualified. You're not socially adept. You get like boat raced by the Lannisters. That feels like Josh McDaniels. Go to the North. Go watch the wall. That's where you're good. And he's definitely going to New England next year.
He might even go to New England this year. I wonder if you're allowed to. Didn't Hugh Jackson like show up on Marvin Lewis's Bengals right after?
Yeah, I remember something like that happening. And I don't know how the contract works with that, but I'm sure if the Raiders still paying him.
Special advisor and whatnot, you know?
I love this
idea that Josh McDaniels is going to go save Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
And like, they're going to keep coaching there because Josh is back. But if Josh goes back, isn't that like coach and waiting situation? But he needs to never be a head coach again. He's just, you're not that guy.
He might be like, Robert Kraft, Josh McDaniels here. What do we think about coach and waiting? And Robert Kraft's like, what if you don't do coaching anymore? You know, what if your real estate's great? You could be a great realtor, you know?
I don't understand how some of these people like Josh McDaniels can be so good for so long. And then you can't, like, as an offensive coordinator.
Okay. So good for so long when the greatest quarterback of all time is your quarterback.
Okay. We can give all the credit to Tom Brady. I totally understand that. But Josh McDaniels is not a dum-dum for offense. He might be a dum-dum at dealing with people, managing the locker room, head coaching.
Respecting P.F. Chang's.
Exactly. How can you not be able to replicate that offense anywhere you go?
I think it's Adam Gase disease, where it's like you just think these guys are really good because they got to work with the greatest quarterbacks of their era. And then when they don't get the greatest quarterbacks of their era, when they get Jimmy G or whoever else, it's just not going to work out.
Jimmy G, Brian Hoyer, and Aiden O'Connell from Purdue. Shout out.
Okay, I've got the Gus Fring category, where it's all fine and dandy and everything's good, and then it all explodes and rips your face off. I've got Kevin Stefanski here, even though I don't know if this quite qualifies as like everything's fine. I think they're good. Team's good. He had them in the playoffs a few years ago. And then like Deshaun Watson is the everything explodes and rips your face off aspect of it. And then I've also got, I got Jim Harbaugh here. I'm not saying he's going to get fired. Maybe it's a conscious uncoupling, but it's kind of getting weird. And now the Big Ten coach is like, y'all got to do something about this. I could see a world where he's no longer at Michigan next year and his face is ripped off, you know?
Do you think it's weird that the Cleveland Browns would love to have Baker Mayfield back so bad? And Baker Mayfield's on his third team since the Browns consciously uncoupled with him?
He has too much respect for himself to go back, though. He'd never.
But he's like the perfect quarterback for that situation. And I think he's above game manager, being Baker. But PJ Walker, that ain't the guy. And
no,
Deshaun, there's something going on. I mean, there might be some things going on, but it's just
Deshaun might be his like Walter White, where Stefanski's like, I'm a good coach. I know offense. We've got great talented roster, but this one guy keeps screwing everything up for me and just won't let me be me. And then you look up and you're dead. And that's Gus Fring.
That's the only thing going on with the Browns right now is this freaking unstable quarterback position is causing all this stuff. Cause their defense is incredible.
It's legit. Yeah.
And he has a great beard with the correct amount for you. I'd be okay with him going grayer, but for you, I think he's got the correct amount of gray mixed in with his natural color of hair. Is that correct?
Oh, it's ideal. It's the platonic ideal. It's so good. Speaking of beard, let's go. I've got Brandon Staley. He's in the Macbeth category. Just too ambitious, you know, fine. He's fine at the beginning of Macbeth because he's like, I'm a great general. I fight really well. I do good wars. I know my business. I know where I sit. And then he gets the chance to kill King Duncan. And he's like, oh, I think I got to do that. And I got to take this Chargers job. And then he starts like, should I go for it on fourth down? I'll go for it all the time. No, I'm not going to go for it ever on fourth down. Then he gets in his head and just doesn't work out. So I think he's got to go.
I really would like to see the world in which he gets fired last year. And
yeah, Sean Payton goes to the Chargers.
And then I would like to see maybe Sean Payton, and he's done a pretty horrible job in my opinion. Whatever just happened against the Chiefs and them winning was very interesting. but maybe he's purposely trying to tank. But could you imagine what we would perceive as a lesser coach with Russell Wilson? And then could you imagine a greater coach with Justin Herbert? I'm wondering if there's not a trade here. Let's have Brandon Staley get traded to the Broncos, and let's have Sean Payton get traded and keep some of the Walmart money in his pocket, and he goes to the Chargers so that we can match these two chaotic situations up properly.
I don't hate that, but it does remind me, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I feel confident about it. And I've been seeing the stat float around that Justin Herbert's career record is like 27-29 or something. I think Justin Herbert sucks. Final answer.
Do you think Eli Manning in the regular season sucked?
Yes, I do.
I'm wondering if they're not just the same.
But like Justin Herbert is the like luxury model, you know, where Eli Manning looked like, no offense, looked like a minivan, but played like a Corvette in the playoffs. Justin Herbert looks like a Corvette, but he plays like a minivan, you know?
Do you want me to tell you about another thing that I read on the internet? So it's got to be true.
Please. I'm still not getting over the Ursay took a big old steaming dookie.
That's a story that's out there.
And McDaniel's wife was like, we're not doing that because I can see that happening.
Yeah, 100%. I know. That's why it's so awesome. I can also see Mark Davis doing the P.F. Chang thing. Toyota had an image problem, a brand problem in the U.S. So they made Lexus, which is, you know, Toyota and Lexus are the same thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know how they came up with the name Lexus?
I don't.
Luxury export to the U.S.
Whoa. I did not know that.
It's got to be true.
That's such a nice name, you know?
Yeah. L from luxury, EX for export, and US to the US. Luxury export to the US. That is the pandering of all pandering names I've ever heard. And guess what? Well, it worked for them.
Is it more or less pandering than, I don't even know if this is true, but the old rumor that Adidas stood for All Day I Dream About Soccer?
Whoa.
I don't know if that's real, but if it is, that's very pandering too.
Maybe that's why I don't wear Adidas, because all day I do not dream about soccer. Hey, maybe soccer and baseball next year. We get a lot of people asking us to talk about soccer, and I'm like, as soon as we understand the interest from the audience, we will begin to do that. And I think there's a bigger baseball, so we're going to go F1, going to get an F1 first, then huge into baseball,
yep.
Then lacrosse and wrestling, we're going to double down on those, and then we're going to get into soccer.
I think all that's good. That's a good plan. I've got in the Marley and Me category, with just the inevitable death, you know, because you don't go to Marley and Me being like, this is going to be a great story about a dog and he's just going to live forever. You know where it ends. This is Ron Rivera. You know, Ron Rivera was an old dog when we got him. He is never really seen communicating with anyone. So I'm not even sure that he's on like the wavelength that everybody is, but he's definitely getting put down at the end of this year. Right.
I feel like this is equal to Urban Meyer at Fox. Just the inevitability. Now, I don't think Ron's done anything sketchy, and he's going to get put down. I think that
just like Marley, and Marley and Me didn't do anything sketchy.
Correct.
But he's just a dog, and it's time. It's just time to call time on it, you know?
I wonder if Ron Rivera is the perfect head coach in the National Football League because of that. He is just like, you know how Roger Goodell for the NFL, for the Shield, is just absolutely just takes all of the strays for all of the owners. Maybe Ron Rivera can cover up a lot of misfortunes and things going on. Maybe he needs to go to San Diego.
Okay. Maybe just like all the coaches go to San Diego. It's coached by committee. I like that.
Coach O in San Diego. He'll take a discount, I promise you on that. Put Coach O as the coach on San Diego. San Diego. Oh my gosh.
Now which Bosa are you, boy? Which are you, Joey? Or are you a Nick? Come on, tell Coach O which one y'all.
Coach O goes to San Diego and he's like, where's the team?
the thing I meant to tell you about the Dabo rant was, you mentioned strays. Tennessee catches an absolute stray in the rant because he's like, Tyler, you dumb 12-year-old, we got beat by Tennessee last year. They hadn't been good in 31 years. You think people are talking to them like
there's no reason, but he just has to do it.
The Logan Roy, you're just too old and it was time. This is Bill Belichick. That's the category. The Derek Shepherd, out of nowhere, but it's been a good run. I've got Mike Tomlin. I've got Nick Saban. What do you think about those?
Derek Shepherd, is that Grey's Anatomy?
I'm sorry, that's a Grey's Anatomy. Okay. That's a Grey's Anatomy, where he just like gets...
I don't think I've heard that whole name in a while.
Yeah, man.
Because everybody just calls him McDreamy.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Derek McDreamy Shepherd, the out of nowhere. Do you like Mike Tomlin for that?
Oh, absolutely. But it's not going to happen. It's
not going to happen.
The Steelers just don't do that.
No, but it could. But it could. And it, they would be in this category. The Reggae Jean Page from Bridgerton first season, where I just think I can do better. This is Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy, which is kind of to your point of like, you can get rid of him. Who you're replacing him with? Can you really do better than what you got right now?
You can do better than Mike McCarthy. The fact that you put LaFleur and McCarthy in the same bucket is a wild take to me.
I think there's a little bit of...
You think they're equivalent coaches?
No. I just think in Green Bay, they're like, oh, we thought Matt LaFleur was going to be great. And then Aaron Rodgers, now he's out of the picture, he gets to cook.
I gotcha.
What if Matt LaFleur can't cook is the problem? What if those knives are too dull? You know what I'm saying? The Jon Snow, where he's definitely dying, but he's definitely coming back. This is a Jimbo Fisher category. He's definitely getting fired, but he's definitely coaching somewhere else in college football next
year. This is where I should have put Urban. Urban's going to coach again, and then he's going to get fired again, and then he's going to coach again.
That's right. The Drew Barrymore in Scream, when she dies early, and it's kind of sad because you wanted more time with her. Sam Pittman in Arkansas. It seems like a great guy. There's just a lot of weird smoke with Arkansas, and he's probably going to have to go, unfortunately.
Remember how fun they were last year? And remember how unfun they are this year? Like, what?
It's just not, it's not good.
Is that the portal in effect? Like, the portal is taking Arkansas down? Like, it's just, it's so crazy how some of these teams just flip in one year like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then kind of related to that one, we got the Gwyneth Paltrow in Contagion, who dies super early. And it's not sad. It's hilarious, actually. This is Billy Napier at Florida, where it's like, probably ends too fast. And it's kind of hilarious. But what might have been if he could have made this happen, you know?
I think that Florida might be on this run of like Cleveland Browns or one of these other teams.
It's a little Tennessee-ish. It's like Tennessee plus, where it was like they fired Fulmer and then like, we'll get the next guy. And then it just never happened.
Yep.
And it was like Dooley, Bush Jones, and it's just underwhelming coach after underwhelming coach. And I feel like that's where Billy Napier is headed. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger this fast.
I don't think so either.
You can't like anything you're seeing, you know?
If you're a coach, you can buy a whole nother season for yourself if you just convince the boosters that we've got it locked down in the portal.
Yeah. I think Florida's recruiting class is like top five right now, so that's a good sign for him. That's what killed Dan Mullen. And then lastly, this is not a death as much. This is an early exit. Mr. Echo on Lost, where Ooh. He didn't... I guess he did die technically, but he wanted to leave the show, so they wrote him off the show. I've got Mark Stoops in this category. At Kentucky, because
never lifetime contract.
I think that's what Kentucky wants, but I think he's starting to look at like, I'm doing a really good job here for Kentucky, but now people are starting to step to me. Like, why am I not winning more games? And they forgot this is Kentucky. So I think he cashes out early and goes somewhere else where it's like
Arkansas.
No, I mean, honestly, I was thinking somewhere. What's a program right now that just needs a boring, stable, good football coach in the Big Ten in Lansing, Michigan?
Okay, that's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I thought, you know where Mark Stoops could end up going besides Michigan? Because there's no chance you go from Kentucky to Michigan.
Michigan State is what I meant, by the way.
Oh, Lansing. Yeah. Is in Ann Arbor. Okay. Michigan State. I'm open to that.
Sorry, we miscommunicated. Yeah, no, not replacing Harbaugh. Replace it. I think Mark Stoops like, I'm a good football coach. But just don't give me any business or trouble.
How have we not created this connection yet? Like, both Michigan and Michigan State just need a boring, stable head coach.
Yeah.
But you know who else does? And this is where I thought before you said Big Ten. So sorry for my confusion. That was my fault on the Lansing thing, because definitely Michigan plays in Ann Arbor, not in East Lansing, would be Texas A&M. If you're Mark Stoops, go there.
Yeah, I think they want something sexier. They need.
I know. That's why it makes a lot of sense. You need to start putting your name out there, Mark Stoops. Let's get on this Hawaiian pretzel bread, King's Hawaiian pretzel bread sponsorship of Mark Stoops getting to either East Lansing or College Station.
Okay, Spin Zone. Mark Stoops releases a sex tape, and Texas A&M's like, "Whoa, this guy's kind of awesome."
Okay. I don't know if King's Hawaiian is still in, and I don't
know
if we're going to help him.
Heat. Let's jump.
Maybe that is how we get noticed, though.
Wait. Hold on. Do you hear that? Is that Bob Stoops music I hear?
That is the Brinks. A&M? That is the Brinks truck backing up for us coming up with this incredible idea that King's Hawaiian would definitely be in on.
Mark Stoops, let us know. Just let us know. We can help. That's all the coaches I had. Okay, Jason, it's time to advise people on how to get a payday this weekend, brought to you by King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread.
There will come a payday, hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday, hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday.
While our picks for your next payday are just guesses, their only real guarantee in life is King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread. It won't make your family love you or boss respect you, but it will be delicious, guaranteed. Jason, what are your picks for this week?
All right. This week, Notre Dame, -3. Clemson, it's terrible. Give me Notre Dame, -3, all day, every day.
Now, look, Andre jumped into our text thread and was like, this is a fishy line.
Okay.
This is a fishy line.
For the record, he didn't jump in. He started the conversation. The first text that was sent today is Notre Dame -3, the trappiest of traps this season.
Okay. So he sack tapped his way into the text thread to you specifically and was like, this is red alert, you know, which I'm not saying I disagree with him, but I still, for my personal principles, me and my house, I got to take Notre Dame. I've been loving Sam Hartman this whole year. I've been loving Notre Dame this whole year. I'm loving the dump truck and beat down they put down on Pitt. And I don't know if it's smart or wise, but I just need this. I just need Notre Dame to really stick it to Clemson.
Okay. Now I see your angle. Because you What's told me angle? Before recording, you're with Notre Dame, and now I see your angle. If they don't cover, you're going to triple down on Notre Dame and me and I led you to this.
No, listen. This is
Why are you saying you need it? Why are you saying you need it?
Because, man, like, Clemson's screwed all of us individually this whole year. And Notre Dame, like, I've been supportive. I've loved watching them from afar. I just need them. I need the good guy to win here. You know what I'm saying? I just need this
Prince Charming. He should win.
That's what I'm saying.
The beard is back. Everybody calm down.
Yeah.
Mustache alone is gone. The beard is back. It's growing in.
Tyler, the 12-year-old, he needs this. Everyone needs this. Everyone needs
I think Tyler, the 12-year-old, needs a Clemson win. You know what I mean?
I'm a little worried that he riled up Dabo and like now they're going to be really on fire. But
crap, that's
know.
The take.
It's like 12-year-old Tyler dunking on you on a call-in show enough to get you to beat Notre Dame? I hope not. I hope you had it already.
But
you
know? What if it is? Then I got to be mad at that 12-year-old.
Screw it. I'm Bad Boys for Life with you on this.
We can't be stopped now because it's Bad Boys for Life.
Let's go. And then my other one, LSU +3 at Alabama. What side are you taking? Because I know exactly where I'm landing.
I feel like I've been wrong on Bama every time this year when I've gone against them. So I'm gonna ride with them because I think the LSU quarterback is just too reckless for my taste. And you can get away with that with some teams. You can't with this Alabama defense. So I think they are going to pummel him. And I think Jalen Milroe's figuring it out. I feel like secretly Alabama's coming on a little bit. They're kind of good. So I think Alabama covers this easily.
Bad Boys for Life.
We can't be stopped now because it's Bad Boys for Life.
Because I'm taking both the teams that are -3 in these two games, and that is Notre Dame and Alabama. I'm taking them separately. We're
getting
back to basics. We're betting one game at a time, but I believe in both those games.
No weird parlays or anything.
I'll probably parlay it too. It's come on now. Don't do it.
Listen, I like what you did. These are good All-American classic games to bet that we're talking about. I'm going to bring two disgusting games to the table. Okay. Just two giant messes, right? Just a big old Jim Irsay dookie in your toilet, didn't flush, left the door closed so it could really cook in there. I'm going Auburn Vanderbilt. At Vanderbilt, which when I say at Vanderbilt, I don't just mean in the city of Nashville. I mean in a construction cesspool, just complete anarchy of a situation.
Full-on construction site. It's like Wrexham FC and Vanderbilt. Just play on a construction site at this point.
I thought y'all were kidding when you're talking about the cranes holding up the uprights, but like that's legit. That's like there's porta potties on the field. What are we doing?
And you were like, well, at least there's no wind. And then like they were talking on the broadcast, and then Andre texted back. They're like, no, there's a ton of wind, and they're actually nervous that the scoreboard and the speaker system are going to fall.
Yeah, this is not code yet. So this is all a bad situation. But Auburn is giving 12.5 points to Vanderbilt at home. I feel like I strayed from my Auburn Georgia take as the year went on, and I just talked myself out of it. This is the game where I think Vanderbilt beats Auburn, because when I was looking at the schedule this year, I was like, Auburn's going to beat Georgia and they're going to get beat by Vanderbilt. That was like an example, but I actually feel like that's true. I feel like Vanderbilt's going to be a little spicy in this game. Auburn's not. So I just take the points. I think they'll beat them straight up. I'm going to do a little money line sprinkle on that too.
Vanderbilt plus 12 and a half in a construction site. All right.
Yeah.
I'm riding with you on that one. We can't be stopped now
because it's bad boy for life. And then this one, this is disgusting. I'm going to do trigger warning. If there's children listening, please cover their ears. Because they don't
need to be on the right side of history here.
Look, all I'm talking, this is Iowa Northwestern. No one should watch this game. This should be like the solar eclipse a few years ago where it's like, don't look up. Don't look at this.
Everyone should watch this game.
No, no, no one should see this. I don't care about the spread. I don't care about, did Brian Ferentz just resign too? So that's a whole wrinkle here. I don't know if I saw that or if that was a joke on the internet. I'm looking at the over under. It's 30.5 points. So will there be over 30 and a half points in this game? That's a disgusting number. I don't think there will be. I think it's going to be under, and I'm rooting for the under because I root for anarchy and I root for chaos. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be. I don't know what the vibes are supposed to be. I don't know if Brian Ferentz really did resign and they're going to open it up and it's going to be like air raid, Steve Spurrier style. I don't care. I'm rooting for anarchy, so I'm going to take the under 30 and a half points. Where you at? We can't be stopped now,
because it's bad boy for life. Absolutely under. This is the lowest over-under in college football in however long or ever. I have no clue. This is a ridiculous number. To set the line at 30 and a half, do not take the over. We want the under. This is the one time for this to happen.
Take the under and don't watch this game because you will go to hell if you see this game.
Take the under and watch this game. This is going to be the most fun game to watch for the under.
No, it's not.
Yes,
this is our generation. This is our generation's fun. Raiders of the Lost Ark, where like your face is going to melt off if you look at this, man. Like you don't want to see this.
You do want to see this. This is the one time in your life that you want to bet the under. You want to watch the game and you want no points to be scored. It's going to be so much fun.
You want to sweat that disgusting under watching disgusting yes! Big Ten football in disgusting November.
Yes!
I love it. All right, so you're right with that. Okay, so that's us. Before we go to Came Close to the Pin, let's check in with Andre to get his 3-stack pack of picks for this week.
Gentlemen, how we doing? Happy week 10 of college football. Hard to believe we are in the last month of the regular season. Man, the season has absolutely flown by. Be careful out there this weekend. Vegas is looking to lay a couple traps with Clemson plus 3 hosting Notre Dame and USC plus 3 hosting Washington. Neither of these lines really make any sense, so be careful. A couple of week 10 best bets. Give me Tulsa minus 4, Kansas State plus 4 at Texas, and Louisiana Lafayette, minus 9. Lastly, a bonus bet for week 10. Game of the week is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. LSU, plus 3. Give me those Bengal Tigers, plus the 3 in a shootout.
All right, Jason, let's go Cameo Close to the Pin. I think we're currently, you've got 2-1. You're up 2-1 on me. We had Chad Penny last time, and you edged me out on that. In honor of all the Raiders talk this episode, we're going to be picking the cameo price of Tim Brown, former LA Raider, I guess, Oakland Raider probably at some point, Notre Dame Fighting Irish member, Hall of Fame receiver, Tim Brown. What you got?
$99.
See, I'm the opposite of you last time. I went 99, you went 75. I was toying between 74 and 75, and I landed at 75, so I'm going to go 75.
Dang it.
$75.
You know what I should have done? Wasn't he number like 80 or 81? That's going to be the freaking right answer here.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right. You dirty dog. You dirty dog. You can get Tim Brown, whose avatar is the bust of himself in the Hall of Fame, which is a good avatar. You can get him for $100.
Boom.
$100.
When I said 99, I thought for sure you're going to take 100, but you've been low lately. So I was trying to trap you and not and say 99 so that you would take something lower, and it worked.
I'm just like, Tim Brown, like you're not out there at all. Like, do you really think you can get $100? I guess he can, you know. Congratulations. He got 223 reviews. All of his most of his cameos, one seems to be in front of a movie poster starring him, which I didn't know he was in a movie, but the rest seem to be in front of his Hall of Fame bust and his Heisman trophy, as they should be.
It's a strong play right now. The score is 3-1. Jason
kill
over
me
Knox.
Absolutely killing me right now.
I do want to bring up the fact that I was trying to find that Brian Ferentz news very quickly. I was unable. Mm-hmm. I saw one article where he is fired and one article where he might get fired, both from yesterday. So I don't know what the answer is, if he is fired or not. But allow me to bring to your attention the fact that Dabo doubles down and says, critics will not steal my joy. I'm officially a little bit nervous for the Notre Dame game now. I'm not changing my stance or my bet. But what if Dabo is like switched back into hungry early Clemson Dabo, and this is at Clemson. So he's going to be sprinting down that hill, and he is now charged up and double charged up.
This is the conversation I had with myself at the beginning of the year, but then I remembered it doesn't matter how Dabo's joy or mental state is. Those players suck. His offensive system sucks. His defense sucks. He hasn't recruited well enough. So I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I think Sam Pittman and his beautiful hair and his beautiful face, I think it's enough.
What about Sam Hartman?
Did I say Sam Pittman?
Yeah.
I think him too.
Hey.
I think Sam.
From now on.
Right, Sam Hartman's facial hair on Sam Pittman's body. Yeah. Let's do that.
Sam Pittman becomes the Sam Hartman of coaches.
Sam Hart Pittman. Sam Pitt Hartman.
Sam
Pam
Pitt Hart.
Sid Hartman.
Hart Pitt.
Pam. Yeah. No, there's nothing there. There's literally nothing there. I
mean, there's.
Okay, well, Jason, congratulations on your win. You're looking great this season. You know, really sticking it to me. I'm proud of you. Good way to bounce back after getting embarrassed last year or last season. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Over Under Tears. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagram, or just talking about it out loud around other people you know. That's the best way to help us out. And it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As always, I'm Knox and he's Jason. We'll see you next time.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the tears start coming and they don't stop coming. Back to the wounds and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense, not a bit more fun. The brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with it in the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey girl, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Make the show on. Yeah. Hey, only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and it's gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the medium that begs to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty clear. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, my mouth's yours. That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. All back when the only shooting stars.